This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Waylon McQueen.
And we're back, baby.
Season three.
Season three is here. It's March Madness. And by that, we mean time for baseball. The common definition of March Madness that everyone knows.
What, we're going to get sued by the NCAA for using that.
Like bring it on. Okay, bring it on, NCAA. Pay your athletes.
That's a limp organization to challenge.
We'll get the FBI onto us for paying recruits off. I'll be like, what?
Does it feel early for baseball?
No, I think it feels an appropriate time for baseball to me.
I feel like I was doing okay, and then like a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, I was like, God, it's got to be baseball.
Yeah,
season.
Yeah.
In my mind.
I mean, it was such a slow offseason, such a late breaking offseason with the player movement and stuff that it did. There was a couple things, like it bled over more into spring training, I think, than we're used to.
Yeah.
And there was like a weird sense of apprehension with the season, I feel like, of like all this like tension between the players and the fans and the owners, like this like three-sided tension sort of like that.
Yeah.
Like coming into spring training. But I feel like it has dissipated a bit.
I feel like that all that rule stuff helped, like in some, because I feel like everyone was kind of like, even if the rule changes, I don't like, at least they're doing something. Like,
yeah, trying to make baseball more fun
in a way that makes sense to, I think, a lot of, I think most people are like, yeah.
Yeah, and the players and the league negotiated it over it.
Right.
So,
I mean, moving the mound back is insane, but. I mean, maybe not.
We'll see. They've moved the mound before. They've done everything before.
Well, the last time they did it, it was unsuccessful. They moved it back.
When was that?
In 1968, that when Bob Gibson had that 1.12 ERA.
I thought that's when they lowered the mound.
Yeah. Oh, they haven't moved it since like for like over 100 years.
Yeah, but that's that's before. I said was they moved it before.
You're
I didn't say
ground
it was
rule
recently.
Doubles were home runs before.
Yeah. there used to be no home runs. So there you go. Like,
yeah, okay, you're right. I'm wrong.
Anything can happen. Before we get too deep into this, okay, well, a couple of things. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us again for a new season. We did take most of the off season off. Just, I think, because of, as we were talking right before the podcast, a little baseball fatigue, maybe a little bit of you got distracted by other things. I was very into the NBA this offseason.
But feeling
good about baseball being back. So thank you for joining us again, and I hope you're excited for the season. Also, thank you to Boardwalk Audio and to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for both organizations' continued support as we launch this new season. Please check them both out. Tons of great podcasts on Boardwalk right now, and tons of great baseball stuff on Off the Bench. I mean, this is, now that baseball has started, I feel like this is the time to be like reading about baseball stuff.
I've read so much about baseball last week.
It is like you crawling out of the desert and being in like at a lake, and you just like can drink it all up. There's so much baseball content to be consumed. Yeah. So definitely make Off the Bench part of your personal lake that you're drinking.
Yeah.
I would say
it's a delicious lake.
A delicious
lake. Not only is it nourishing, but it's a delicious lake.
Yeah, it tastes like strawberries. Who knew? So we are, I'll say we're recording this the day after opening day. So we have, we'll probably touch on some first thoughts on the league, but the main thing we're going to do is we're going to do some predictions just because they're fun for us and hopefully fun for you. We'll be doing sort of the standard playoff and awards predictions, touching on at least all of those, and then we'll do some maybe more out of the box predictions. I don't want to say wacky because that sets
a
really high
pressure.
Bar. It's a lot of pressure to say like, oh, these are going to be wacky.
Wacky, not wacky.
But they'll be fun.
Yeah, they'll be
Let's.
They will be fun.
They'll be fun.
If not wacky.
If not wacky.
Maybe a wacky.
Maybe there will be one or two cuckoo predictions thrown in there.
Should we also mention that season two of The Sliders is starting on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. We are also starting our second season of playing in a baseball league, the Los Angeles Baseball Federation. Yeah. Got some free agents that joined
up. We
did.
Some big, made a trade.
Did we?
Yeah, we lost Bob.
What?
Bob's on date palms.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm heartbroken.
For that guy, Aaron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron was really good in the tryouts. So I can't believe we traded Bob.
Aaron can pitch. Bob's retiring from pitching.
Oh, I see. I see. I see.
Hearing about someone's real baseball league in Los Angeles better or worse than hearing about someone's fantasy league?
Worse, much worse. I'm sure.
I didn't know that you knew we lost. You didn't know we lost Bob. We traded Bob.
We've lost any listener who has decided to join in for season three. But that's fine.
It's not all Sliders talk.
It's not all Sliders talk.
I'm looking forward to it.
But we will have to make our league predictions for the LABF. Also MVP, Rookie of the Year, Executive of the Year, Jackie Robinson Award for service.
Rollades Relief.
Frank Robinson, which is the service award that they give out. Is it Jackie Robinson?
It's Jackie, I think, right? Isn't there like a Hank Aaron one too?
That's for hitting, I think.
It's like a Silver Slugger kind of.
Yeah, but like for best hitter.
How much do you think?
Too many awards. This is my hot take. Too many awards. There should be one award.
So if you're,
and it should be tallest player. It should be something
Aaron
inarguable.
Judge wins.
No way. Chris Young.
Oh, yeah. Chris Young. I forgot about Chris Young, the tall one. So if you're Mookie Betts. Man, that's a bad example. If you're
he's not winning tallest player award. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, and he wins somehow. No, if you're Mike Trout and you win Hank Aaron, do you think you care? No, right? But if you're like, if somehow Nick Markakis wins it this year, he's probably like, hell yeah.
I think you care, in part because it's named after Hank Aaron and obviously one of the greatest players in history.
So you think you care?
I mean, you don't care as much maybe about MVP or whatever, right. But yeah, also I do think it depends on how many awards you've won before and
stuff,
but always nice to be recognized. But like,
you're right.
I'm sure if JD Martinez won it, right? Like there's a valid argument to be made. He's the best hitter and he probably is not going to win a ton of other awards. So like, so it's a meaningful award.
To him,
award.
It's probably like, this is the best I can realistically achieve.
Yeah, I'm sure there are diminishing returns if it's like, you know, Roger Clemens is sixth Cy Young or whatever. He's like, great, I did this last year.
I feel
year
like
also.
If you're winning MVP or Cy Young, it's always cool.
Probably, but still more cool to the person who's only going to win it once, you know.
You think so?
Yeah. Definitely.
I don't know.
Are you kidding me? Okay, here's an analogy that will turn off people almost as much as talking about our baseball league. How excited were you getting on Herald Knight for the seventh time or whatever at UCB versus the first time?
I mean, that's just staying on.
But not every time. Okay, the third time or whatever. I know you weren't as excited because you told me.
I see what.
It's still an honor, but like you're still
it's
like.
It's still an honor.
But
it's like
not
the
as,
level of excitement.
Yeah. Okay, here's an analogy that won't turn people off so much. Or maybe it will. Depends who's listening. The first time you had sex, right? That was a lot more singular of an experience than the...
I think that analogy... Because the first time you had sex, you were, like, bad. So if you won the MVP because it was a weak year, and then you won, like, your fourth because you, like, had, like, a 12-war season, then, you know... Like, the first time I had sex was not the best time I had sex. So.
Yeah, but do you know the difference at that point? Also, what I'm saying is I've only had sex four times, so this is really a direct...
I feel like they're all special. I don't know. I mean, the first one's probably... It probably depends on your expectations, too, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And like, there's always narrative like, okay, you won one when you were 25 and then you got hurt and missed three seasons and then you clawed your way back and you won again. Maybe that's more meaningful because like you have perspective on
it. Or like Yvonne Rodriguez won that one. It's like he probably never realistically expected to win an MVP.
I don't know. I think you're putting...
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you're putting thoughts in Ivan Rodriguez's head.
I think I got a pretty good read on
him. Good beat on him. From that like MasterCard commercial or whatever that
yeah,
he was
I figured
in.
It out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't... I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. is in your league. I feel like... Yeah. I guess every player is probably like, I'm good enough to an MVP if you're that good. Maybe I've just never been that good at anything.
Yeah, definitely. I have definitely not. I didn't mean you were good.
You're definitely not.
You're definitely not good.
Like, I feel like if Tim Anderson won MVP, he's probably not expecting realistically to win MVP.
I don't know. He's a confident guy. I think it
is. Is yeah. I think the wrong dude.
Yeah.
Who's the least confident major leaguer?
It's a great question. I feel like there's like Mark Tehan when he was on the White Sox was very self-deprecating. I feel like it's those like Brandon McCarthy. He's retired
I was
now.
Say Brandon Belt just because he's been beat down so much by his
could be
fan base.
Probably some one of those like prospects who gets like tugged around. Probably somebody on the Mets or something who's like who mishandled their prospects.
Or just anybody playing for the Marlins.
Yeah, that's true. Like you're. You barely qualify as a major leaguer, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've succeeded in getting inside the heads of Pudge Rodriguez and every Marlin.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Pudge.
Let's talk about the rest of the league. So we're getting inside everybody's head. So what do you think this offseason? Do you think the sort of... The Bryce Harper move is probably the most consequential in terms of like the power balance shifting in any kind of way. Like the Manny Machado move sets up the Padres to be competitive, but potentially not this year as a major
more of a
threat.
Long term.
I think there is something interesting about him going from the Dodgers to the Padres. Not that the Dodgers like needed to resign him, but I do think like. That makes it a slightly more meaningful move for the Padres.
I think that this is maybe the last year that we're sure that the Dodgers are the best team in the NL West, right?
Yeah.
Maybe one more year after this, but I think this is... If the Padres win, 75 games, then next year everyone's going to be thinking the Padres could beat the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on the way in which the Dodgers are good, because...
That's true.
They have maybe more question marks on the pitching staff than they have in the past, just because like Kershaw is so much shakier.
There's so many pitchers.
They do. I mean, they've lost a couple, I think, of the guys. Like they traded Alex Wood and stuff like that. But there's like a lot of variability there with Kershaw and Walker Buehler. With like going into next season, you could easily say like, oh, those guys finished 1-2 in the Cy Young, or like. Oh, neither of those guys pitched 100 innings, you know, and
so
I wouldn't be shocked
say.
By either of those outcomes.
Oh, I don't think the Dodgers are like done. I guess I'm just saying like this is maybe the third year in a row where everyone was like, oh, the Dodgers are the best team. Like it's, you know, like how the Indians are enjoying this run in the Central. Like,
yeah.
But I'm saying that maybe next year is the first year where we can talk ourselves
they'll have a threat
into the Padres.
The AL Central is really bad.
It's such a disaster.
It makes it all the more disappointing. I'll come clean that part of the reason we didn't do podcasts over the winter is because I was very upset by the White Sox pursuit of Manny Machado. And even more so now that like Lindor and Ramirez are hurt for the Indians. And it's like their lineup is terrible. Their outfield is awful. Like they have
who are you talking about?
The Indians.
Their team is like
they have these two superstar position players and then they have
two great pitchers.
Well,
I mean they have more than two great, but like I mean
Kluber and
Bauer.
Bauer.
Yeah.
Carrasco is very, very
That's
good.
True,
and Clevinger was very good last year as well. So their rotation is certainly the strength, but like if you're going to have a strength on your team, probably rotation is like the one that's going to be most like rickety where
but
it's
their
like
bullpen
you lose
great.
One of those guys. Right. Yeah. Definitely.
And their outfield is bad. The catching situation's a disaster.
Yeah. It's very annoying that the other AL Central teams didn't do more to be competitive with the Indians.
I feel like the Twins kind of did the best they
Sort of. I mean,
what can they?
Well, they, Joe Mauer's contract came off the books, which was like $30 million or something. So you would think like they could get, if they're not going to go after Machado or Harper, like there are definitely sort of still top of the market options that they could have done.
But,
and they did more sort of like mid market, like, you know, Nelson Cruz is a good hitter, but. One year deal for a DH is not like what, you know, Yasmani Grandal would have been.
Gonzalez, good. I like that.
I mean,
I don't think he's like going to be like an all-star necessarily even, but it's not like a bad move.
It's not bad, but like, okay, so he's a good utility player, like who had a crazy year 2 years ago. Yeah. And like, are you going to count on him having a 900 OPS again? No, definitely not. But so like,
no,
I don't know.
I agree with what you're saying, but I don't think that they like. I guess I've seen so many bad Royals off seasons when they were kind of like the Twins, and this feels better. Like I don't feel like they did anything that's like going to like kill them.
They didn't do anything terrible.
Like if this doesn't work, they're still in a good position to put them. They're still in a position to move forward.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Like, but you're right. They could have done more, obviously, but I don't know. It's so weird. It's like with teams like the Twins or Rays, I feel like the Twins were trying to kind of be the Rays. I just don't know if they're... The Twins, it's not the same. I don't know. No one can ever know what the Rays are truly doing, but...
The Rays payroll is so small.
Yeah.
It's comically small. It's like $35 million
but
or something, right?
But still might make
it's
the
crazy.
Playoffs.
Yeah, but just imagine if they spent $60 million.
Let's
dive into our predictions here. Okay. Since we're talking, let's start with the AL. Since we're talking AL, okay. I'm going to assume that we're both picking Cleveland to win the AL Central. Unless you're gonna
Minnesota's the only other option.
Spin the roulette wheel. Pick Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano for.
I mean,
keep in mind these are legally binding predictions.
Yeah. That's
people
right.
will I can hunt you
faced
down
with lawsuits. Yeah. I mean, it kind of all rides, not all, but I think a lot of it does ride on how good Buxton is, right? If the Twins.
For sure, yeah.
Like,
which
think,
is not necessarily no. a position you want to be in.
I think the Indians are going to win that division, and I think that they probably won't win 90 games.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, honestly, the like it being like 83 wins takes the AL Central like that. The Cardinals, that when they won the World Series that year? What year was that?
Oh, yeah. The 2006, right? When they beat the Tigers,
yeah,
I think so. I think that... Here's the thing about that division. It's pretty bad, but they don't have like an... The Royals and White Sox are going to be pretty bad, but they don't have
and
like
the Tigers.
They don't have like an Orioles or a Marlins for the Indians just to really beat up on. Like if the Indians are struggling, they could...
I don't know, man.
They could lose two of three
in back-to-back really gonna
series
say,
to
like,
the White Sox. I mean, if Kluber's hurt, you know what I mean? Like, they're hanging by a thread.
Yeah.
So I can see a situation in which I don't think that they have, like, quite the Pats. They're not, I don't know.
I'm quibbling with your placement of the Tigers, White Sox, and the Royals in a, like...
Above the Orioles and...
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a small difference between those two tiers, but, like, I don't know. I might lump them all in the same tier.
Yeah, they're
like,
probably in the same
you're gonna
tier.
You're going to lose... You're happy if you don't lose 95 games.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I just don't think the Indians are going to be like feasting as much necessarily as people think. I think that they'll win the division, and I think that they'll...
I just think it all depends on, you know, Lindor and Ramirez. Like, if those guys miss the first month, like, how many games are the Indians going to win in that month, you know?
They're like, really relying on winning, like, 3-2 games.
Yeah.
2-1 games.
Right.
Maybe they will. Maybe they'll be the Mariners last year where they win, like, you know, they're like 15-4 in one-run games. That's an arbitrary number. But it's all their starting pitching and their two guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
it makes you wonder, like, why aren't you trying to do more? You know, like, why? Or, like, why? I mean, I know, I guess it's financial, but...
Oh,
it's just boggles the mind. Every team is so profitable, you know. Yeah. It's like you have two of the most transcendent talents in baseball, and you've put a dog shit around them, kind of, for lack of a better term.
That's what's like disappointing is they weren't making the like Marlon Gonzalez, you know, like at least do that.
Right.
Like at least find players that have the potential to be like decent or competent or sign three players or trade for three players that might have a 900 OPS because it's not better than like
right.
a higher ceiling. I feel like they just went so low ceiling on so many players because they have two players that don't have a ceiling.
Yeah.
On offense.
Yeah. You know what's strange is it kind of seems like the team is constructed a bit like last year's Rockies, which is I think collectively we still don't think of the Rockies as like a pitching first organization, but like last year's Rockies team, you know, watching them in the playoffs especially, it was like they literally have two good hitters. Like
yeah.
It's like Arenado and Story, and that's like, and everybody else is average or worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then strong
Blackman
starting pitching.
Didn't have as great of a season last year.
Yeah.
And his defense is horrendous. That whole defense on the Rockies is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Except for Arenado's good.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Cleveland is a playoff team.
Are you, I mean, it's got to be the Astros too, right? That's kind of.
In the West?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, no.
Definitely.
One. Yeah.
I mean,
I feel almost more confident about the Astros winning the West than the Indians winning the Central.
Well, yes. I mean, the Astros, I'll spoil our conversation and say the Astros are my World Series pick.
To make it?
To win.
To win. To go all the way.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're the best team?
What? Are you saying they're the best team and they're
going to
win?
Because they also have two amazing pitchers and a shortstop that should have a bounce back year to be one of the best players in the league.
Well,
and a second baseman who is one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, the crazy thing about... Because I was writing up predictions for SoxMachine.com as well, and so I did a little bit of research. And like looking at the Astros season last year, you know, they won the West. They were a very good team, but Correa was hurt and had a bad year. Altuve took a big step back from his MVP year.
Mm-hmm.
Springer had a down year. Mm-hmm. Josh Reddick had a terrible year.
Yeah.
About like half their lineup, you could honestly expect to say like, these guys will be 25% to 50% better than they were.
And Bregman should be better. He seems to be on an upward trajectory to be one of the better players in the league. So
and so they lost Charlie Morton and Dallas Keuchel and Lance McCullers, which is a big blow to their rotation, obviously.
Who went to the Rays? Was it
Morton.
Hugh? Oh, was, Morton. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They still have Hugh?
McHugh, yeah.
McHugh, okay.
But their bullpen is super nasty. They have the best pitching prospect in baseball by some accounts, Forrest Whitley.
Right.
They signed Michael Brantley.
And he hit a dinger yesterday.
So it's like, and on top of all of this, they won 103 games last year, and their Pythagorean record was 109 wins. So they like were worse last year. And yet still, like, all these players were worse last year than in 2017, and yet still they were should have won 109 games by their run
and
differential.
Cole should be great. Verlander is definitely in the category of you have to prove that you're not good anymore.
Yeah, right.
Like, and he's everyone's going to be convinced that he's good until he's not.
Yeah.
And their division got worse.
Yeah.
I think the A's can still maybe, like, keep up, but, like, the Rangers are definitely worse. The Angels could play a little better, but the Mariners are definitely worse. So,
yeah, I think the Mariners are the big one,
yeah,
taking a big step back.
But
there.
Maybe the Angels will replace some of that a little bit, but I don't know. The Angels don't look that good.
The Angels had some bad luck last year, I think, with injuries as well, but
they just don't have a lot of pitching.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with Ohtani not pitching. But, okay, so I definitely think Astros will have a pretty easy time of it. And then the East is sort of like we're back in this Yankees-Red Sox scope through which we're viewing really the entire American League. I think they'll both make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think Red Sox probably are still my pick for the division, getting a little benefit of the doubt from World Series champs and also... The Yankees rotation is like real messy right now. Like they're missing a lot of people on the pitching, not just rotation, the bullpen too. They're missing Betances and
they're relying on some bounce back years that aren't guaranteed. Like Gary Sanchez, I think, is at a point where it's like, you know, like Carlos Correa for the Astros, like, you can be pretty confident. I mean, he might not, but you can be more confident that he's going to bounce back.
Sure.
But Gary Sanchez,
he just has a longer track record.
Yeah, Gary Sanchez is like, oh, no, he might not. And so, in their first base situation is kind of wonky. I mean, I think, I'll admit it, Aaron Judge is good. I mean, I think a full season of Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton will probably be better than last year, or at least as good as his second half last year.
Dude, is Luke Voit gonna be really good? Is that something that's gonna happen?
I mean, they're definitely gonna crush dingers all summer long, right?
I know, but like, is Luke Voit? We've talked on this show before about how frustrating it is to me that the Dodgers like pull guys out of their ass, like Max Muncy and Chris Taylor. Like,
oh, so are you saying really, Luke
I'm like
Voigt's
worried,
be one of those
like
dudes?
Luke, because I think the Yankees, like Aaron Hicks, like they do that too, and like,
yeah.
Luke Voit was awesome at the end of last year and then crushed it on opening day, yeah. Crushed it in spring training. I'm like, of course the fucking Yankees got the like minor league first baseman that the yeah. Cardinals didn't have room for. Not any one of a dozen teams that could use a power hitter more than the Yankees. If there's any team that like has a wealth of power hitters,
like Luke
Voit's
going to end up being like the best power hitter on 20 teams, but the fourth best power hitter.
Right,
on the
exactly.
Yankees.
Yeah. Like the Tino Martinez or whatever, where it's like, or Mark Teixeira, where it's like, yeah, okay, yeah. Right. I forgot that there was another guy who hit 35 home runs on that team.
But at least they didn't just. At least it was less of a, oh, Mark Teixeira had two great years on the Rangers. I'm going to
yes,
get him.
This
you know,
is true.
Like, I don't know, man. I think like the Yankees are. I still don't like them, but they're so fun to watch. If they're hitting, it's annoying.
Yeah.
I'm still going to pick the Red Sox because I think the Yankees are like, I think the Red Sox, if Salen is healthy and Price is a little better. I don't know. The Red Sox bullpen, though.
Yeah.
Like the Red Sox bullpen is not that great and the Yankees bullpen is very great. So
I still don't understand why the Red Sox have not just signed Kimbrel.
I don't either. I don't
I mean, I don't understand why Kimbrel and Keuchel haven't signed, period, and how there like appears to be no rumors attached to either of them aside from like I guess a very tenuous Brewers Kimbrel connection, but it's
like,
it's bizarre.
Unless it's like, cause like, what? I mean, it might be a money thing, but like, the Reds should sign Keiko. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why aren't?
Well, is there not a Jake Arrieta deal like sitting out there for Keiko? Like that?
Like for these like mid level, like the Twins?
Yeah,
could use Keiko. The Padres. I mean, they like.
That is kind of, you know, even as I'm getting excited for baseball, I do that. Kind of stuff is still bothering yeah. me, like where it's like, oh, the excitement of it being back does not paper over the fact that there's like serious flaws with how the league is operating, and like those
yeah.
you know, the chickens are going to come home to roost at some point. There's going to be a strike, there's going to be something that like actually, well, here's my bold prediction that I made on Sox Machine starting to get a little wacky, which is that the league's gonna announce two expansion teams this year.
Oh, this year?
Yeah, and
Portland
and Montreal was my prediction. But
okay.
That I think that's a way that they can sort of get past the tensions with the union, whether it's accurate
it's
or not.
More jobs.
It's like 52 new jobs,
right? And plus all the staff.
Yes, yeah. Plus like more competition in the free agent market.
Right.
So yeah. I'm wondering if that is like a negotiating tactic.
Man, I would love an expansion draft.
That'd be so
fun.
Oh,
didn't we have an idea?
Yeah,
to
we
do
were
one?
Gonna do an expansion draft.
Let's do
we
it.
We should
we'll
still
do it.
Oh
yeah, we'll do an expansion draft. I got time on my hands.
I'll yeah,
set it
start
up.
Making
I'll
the
set
spreadsheets.
It up. Yeah, I'll start making it up. Oh, that'd be so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be?
Yeah.
I know you agree. But would it be, where else is in contention? Nashville, Charlotte?
Yeah. You know, there's some scuttlebutt around Mexico City or Monterrey.
Mexico City would be insane.
San Antonio, I think, was maybe
that'd
one.
Be good. Probably not Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas would be very small, I think. Yeah. But
it feels like Montreal is like the closest to like, or like the to me, I feel like I've heard most about, like, if there's expansion, Montreal's getting a team.
I think Portland is ahead of Montreal. Oh, okay. There's, like, a group trying to build a stadium there right now. So
that'd be cool. Because then we could talk about how it would be realigned. Mm-hmm. Oh, what?
So all much right, content. I like that theory. The content machine would eat it up.
Yeah. Okay, so we're both picking the Red Sox, but Yankees number one wild card.
Yes.
I mean, they're like, they both of those teams might win 100 games.
Yeah.
Again. So, wait, did they both win 100 last year?
They did.
Yeah. So, because also, like, talk about, like, those teams are going to destroy the Orioles. They have, like...
And the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays look sneaky the Blue bad Jays, this year.
Yeah. I think the Rays will be okay. Like, so maybe it's probably going to come down to their record against the Rays and each other.
Yeah.
So what's the other wild card team?
I think the Rays are my second wild card pick.
Yeah, I think that's good.
I want to pick the Angels because I want to see Mike Trout in the playoffs. Mm. But I think the Rays are, like, so aggressive about being good. Like, in a way that other teams aren't, don't you think? Like, it's kind of interesting because they sort of, like, obviously they're very cheap, so they're not aggressive in that way. But, like, with the players they have and the tactics they take, they're literally, like, trying to maximize every sort of 1%.
Oh, yeah. They're doing what the Royals claim they're doing. If
what
you're
do the Royals claim they're
trying
doing?
To win? I don't know. Like, they think that signing nothing but speedsters is like the new like
market inefficiency.
Yeah, it's not because first of all, they need to be able to get on base.
Right.
And second of all, you need to prevent runs from scoring.
Yeah, right.
Will not do. So I don't know. This is wacky. What if? Okay. Oh, I'm going to pick the A's.
Oh,
I think the
okay.
A's are going to come back. Maybe just because I feel like I like watching the A's. I feel like, you know, like
they certainly have the star players to lean on that maybe the Rays. Quite yet. Like, unless you really buy Blake Snell as an ace. Like,
I don't. I think he's good, but I don't buy him as an ace.
But they don't have their Matt Chapman, I don't think, in Tampa.
And I think that the A's have pitching on the way if people get over injuries, or like at least decent, like at least Rays level pitching. Maybe they don't have a Blake Snell, but like
if that doesn't work, there's always Edwin Jackson, you know. Just keep trot him out every year.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the A's to win a World Series in 2026 with Edwin Jackson as the game one starter.
Did you hear that this is the first opening day in professional sports in the United States where a single player wasn't playing in the 90s?
Oh, wow.
Because Beltre and Colon are gone.
Oh.
Or Colon. No. I mean, Colon might end up back on a team because I don't think he's giving up.
Opening day.
Yes, this is the first in any professional sport where an opening day featured all players that started their career in 2000 or later.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wouldn't have... Is that... I don't know if I believe that. What about Vince Carter?
Yeah, so... No, so this... Yeah, so every team has had one. This is the first time in any professional sport that an opening day
I
for
I thought
a
you
league,
were saying in all the professional sports.
I am. No player in baseball played in the 90s.
I thought
every
you were
other sport has had a player from the 90s.
I thought you were saying no player in any sport.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. This is the first time. Because hockey, as far as I know, like Mario Lemieux is still playing. And so, but I feel like they stick around forever. And I think football, probably kickers is what's doing it. Or
Tom Brady's been around forever.
No, but he started in 2001.
Probably kickers, yeah. There's probably...
unless there's like a really old quarterback.
No, I think Brady's probably the oldest.
Like Vinatieri's probably been around
for a
while.
He's been around forever.
But I thought that was crazy because you feel like there are baseball players that are, I guess it was 20 years ago.
What about Ichiro? No, because
well,
he came over him.
Yeah, because 2001 was his rookie year.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, so we got our playoff teams for the AL. NL, you picking Cubs in the Central?
Yeah. It's gonna
Your reverse jinx didn't work in the playoffs,
so now you have no excuse.
So you got to just pick.
I think it's foolish to be convinced that it's going to be the Brewers, right, or the Cardinals.
I'm picking Cardinals.
Yeah, so I don't think it's crazy to pick the Cubs. I think probably realistically the Cubs are the third best team in that division on paper.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's nuts. They're not bad. There's a lot of Cubs hate out there. And no one hates the Cubs as much as a Cubs fan, but I feel like that...
No, they're definitely not bad. I think actually potentially poised for a bounce back because I think they, you know, they didn't play that well. They did last year.
Can they be worse than last year with the players they have? And they,
I mean, they
tied for the division. You know, like they.
I think they could be, just in terms of like, if you know, injuries hit again, and then like Javi Baez takes a step back. Like, I don't think you can count on him for having the same kind of year that he had.
No, but I mean, yeah, I think it would have to be injuries, because Bryant, it would be injured. Crazy, right, if right. He's worse. So I feel like Bryant is at least going to make up for Javi's step back.
Yeah.
And then I don't think like Contreras or Schwarber are going to be worse.
Right.
I don't, they might still not be better. Like, that's why like Darvish won't be worse, or he'll play. Like, Quintana won't be worse.
Like, I think last year is like a reasonable floor for this team.
I think Hayward could still be a little better, but he might just be what he is.
I think he's trash.
Yeah, and I think his defense is getting worse too.
He's just not a good player.
No, and Zobrist could fall off a cliff at any point.
Mm-hmm. Literally,
yeah.
Any of us could.
Anyway, I don't think it's crazy to pick the Cubs, because they did tie for the division win last year.
No, I don't think it's crazy.
But you know, they're probably the third best team.
I'm picking Cubs for a second wild card.
Ooh.
And I'm not picking the Brewers to make the
playoffs. So you're picking the Cards to win the
division.
Yeah, of course they'll probably win.
Goldschmidt. That's a huge addition. I know. Crazy. They got him for so little.
You texted me about how I have to hate Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, it sucks. He's like one of the most easy to like players in the league, and you have to hate him now.
I never hated Albert Pujols.
That's fair.
But I do hate Matt Carpenter and Yadier Molina. So I don't think I'll hate Paul Goldschmidt unless he like turns into like a particular Cub killer.
Which he could, because he's very good.
Yeah, he's so good. I think that they improved and that they have better chemistry. Dexter Fowler is very bad, though.
I think
it's time to write off Dexter Fowler almost. He's having a very bad spring.
I don't know. I was kind of hoping the White Sox would trade for him, because like I think he's not as bad as he played last year.
I don't think he
got
in
that
whole
anymore. Mike Matheny
brouhaha. I think that...
They don't need him to play center anymore, because they have Harrison Bader, who was like a monster last year.
Of course. The Cardinals are... of course Harrison Bader is a monster.
Of course they just pulled a white guy out of nowhere named Harrison, and he turned into...
And what's going to happen is someone's going to get hurt, and then someone's going to replace that person, and that person, whoever replaces it, is
Garth
a person I've never heard of.
Blurstein.
Yeah. And Garth Blurstein will get almost Rookie of the Year.
He'll get third place.
Yeah, and then he'll win NLCS MVP, because he'll hit three home runs in two different games. And then
this is scarily accurate.
I think that is shaping up to be a very fun division. I don't think that that's a division where I truly don't think there's a patsy. I think the Pirates will be bad, but they're not in the White Sox.
So here's a fun fact, that the Pirates opening day outfield contained two White Sox castoffs Melky Cabrera and JB Shuck. JB Shuck is one of my least favorite White Sox ever, so I thought it was very funny to see
like
him back.
If Archer and Talisson, is that how you say his name?
Talon. I think.
Okay, whatever. They could be decent or good enough.
No, they're not terrible. But like, they're another team where you're like, maybe you should have tried just a little bit.
They should have done what the Reds did. Like, if you're a Reds fan, you cannot be disappointed. Like,
no,
they might
Reds,
still be bad.
That's what I wanted the White Sox offseason to be, especially because Puig is like the most fun player in the league, or like top five. Like, you get him and like, now your team is fun to root for, you know?
And Scooter Jeanette's fun to watch. Like, I feel like...
Well, I mean, they have a ton of fun guys, but I'm just saying, like, if you're just going to make one move in an offseason, like, get a fun guy like Puig, you know? And then, like, at least you have something for the fans, even if you're bad. I loved all their offseason moves.
They went through that stretch last year after they fired their manager, where
they were
beating up on the Cubs, and they were like, they had like I'm wrong, but it was something like a 22-26 stretch, and they weren't.
Well, Eugenio Suarez and Joey Votto and Scooter Jeanette is like a pretty solid foundation for your lineup, and then
Michael Lorenzen might play center field.
He did play center field.
Did he play yesterday?
Yeah, he was like a defensive replacement.
So that division is going to be crazy because the Reds are going to be playing spoiler a lot, and then they're going to beat up on each
other. I hope they're good. That would be fun. Because they, sort of similar to how it was really nice to see the Brewers do well after having sort of an aggressive offseason last season, it would be nice to see the Reds do that again.
It would be the night. I don't like the Reds really, but I like what they did. So it's
you
hard
know what I'm saying
choose.
In the abstract.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying in the abstract. But I wouldn't mind. I mean, as long as they're not beating up on the Cubs too bad. But anyway, all right. So you're picking the Cubs, or no, the Cubs wild card.
Yes.
And I'm picking the Cardinals. I'm still thinking about my wild card. Or I'm picking the
You're picking
Cubs.
The Cubs for the division.
I'm still thinking about my wild card.
So we'll NL West, Dodgers. We're on the Dodgers train still.
The Diamondbacks are out, and the Rockies can't be as good as they were last year, and the Padres aren't there yet.
Yeah.
And the Giants are.
Yeah, the Giants are pretty bad.
Very bad.
So NL East is potentially the most interesting division in baseball.
I'm going to go Nationals.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They are my first wild card pick.
Wild card, that makes sense.
I'm going Phillies. Yeah. I mean, but really, all of the teams seem to have equal strengths and weaknesses, kind of, you know? With the Mets' weakness potentially just being that they're the Mets.
I think that, and the senior citizens on the squad that they're relying on. But boy, Syndergaard is back. And
if pitches, DeGrom.
That's a pretty good rotation they have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I think my kind of rationale is that the Phillies' defense was really bad last year, and they sort of have people playing much more appropriate positions in addition to the offensive upgrade of bringing in Segura and
Real Muto
and Harper, obviously. It's like they had an aggressive, talk about aggressive offseasons. Yeah. They had an aggressive offseason to the point where like I keep forgetting they also got Real Muto because it was
too sandwiched
in between the Segura and Harper moves. But like I guess you could say like Michael Franco maybe is their worst position player right now, and he is still a guy who's going to probably hit 20 homers and has room for growth. So I think they just, you know, they papered over the weakest spots in the roster in a way that I'm not sure the other teams in the division did. I think the Braves probably had the most underwhelming offseason.
For sure. I think the Nationals are in a pretty good. I think like bringing Corbin in was a good move.
I guess the question is like how, like is Corbin a number one starter going forward, or is
he
a number
three
starter? I know he's their number three, but like what
in the world?
Like what is his more general like?
I think I think that's where he's at, right?
I think they might need him to be more than that. Like
it depends on Strasburg. I think
it depends on Strasburg, but it also just depends on like I think losing Harper is maybe a bigger thing than like people are giving it credit for. Like he wasn't great last year, but like he was sort of the centerpiece of their team and occasionally a transcendent player.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you might need like Rendon or Turner to kind of step up. I mean, Soto needs to stay good, but you know, like they might value from having like one of these guys that everyone says is like, don't just look at Harper, like actually become a star.
Right.
I guess like what you're saying.
So, sort of what I'm saying is like they didn't make the playoffs last year when Harper wasn't that good, right? So like they need somebody to step up and be like what Harper was supposed to be last year. Whether that's
probably not going to be Corbin. I know a pitcher, but that's not
exactly. Yeah, so like if he's their big addition, they need somebody to be like a 6-win player who
Young
was
Gomes.
Not last
you don't
year.
Think Jan Gomes is going to be
I don't
a
think
player.
It's Jan Gomes. I don't think it's Victor Robles. Like that's just an absurd expectation to place on a rookie. So like maybe it's Trey Turner. Maybe
I think it needs to be Turner or Rendon. Like I think those two maybe both need to turn in 6-win seasons, and then Soto probably needs to be like a 4-win player, and then Corbin needs to be like one of the best number threes, right? Like
So that's kind of my point that you made right there is they kind of like need more than I think people are necessarily
I agree with
expecting.
You, but I don't think any of that's like crazy.
It's not crazy.
Would you rather be a Nationals fan or an Indians fan?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like, just in terms of like what I expect out of this season, I guess I'd rather be an Indians fan just because like
they have.
It
those.
Would be pretty disastrous if they didn't make the playoffs, and it would be
that's true. Yeah,
it would be well within the realm of like, oh, we still had a good season and we didn't make the playoffs. Like, that is well within the realm of possibility for the Nationals.
Oh yeah, I don't think it would be surprising for any of the four contending teams in the East to miss the playoffs.
I mean, one of them has to. So like by yeah. that very
right.
fact is it wouldn't be
but
surprising.
Like, unless it was like a situation where one of the teams only won like 73 games, like, but if they all are, you know, winning 80 games or more,
I mean, it's so possible like only one of those teams makes the playoffs if they're all yeah, like sort of in really, the 80 yeah, win range.
Because they're all just winning, they're all even against each other. But yeah. That's what, so like if I'm saying the Phillies or the Nationals, they win 84 games and finish fourth, that'll be disappointing, but it won't like it will only be disappointing because of that division.
Well, I mean, I think it's disappointing regardless because all of those teams have playoff expectations.
Yeah, no, it's definitely disappointing. I'm losing my original point. I guess what I'm saying is that if the Phillies finished fourth and winning 84 games, I'd be like, "Oh, that sucks. That's too bad." But I would be like, "Yeah, but that division's crazy good."
Yeah.
Like if the Indians win 80 games and finish third, you'd be like, "What the hell happened?"
Yeah, yeah. So like, for sure. But I think that like counterbalance to that is like, there's probably a what like 30% chance that happens for the Nationals or Phillies, yeah. And there's probably like. A 6% yeah, chance that true. Happens
I
for Cleveland.
I think 6 is probably you know? High. I'm gonna go to the Nationals, and now I just made my decision. My wild card are going to be the Cardinals and Brewers.
Oh,
so I'm cutting the Phillies out of the playoffs.
Wow, okay.
That's gonna be my big.
Bold,
that's my
hot
big.
Take.
That's my Royals win the second wild card of last year.
Wow, that was a bad prediction. Talk about bad predictions. You were ice cold last year. You said the Red Sox
so
would
bad.
Be bad, and that the Royals
yeah,
would win
and
the
I
second
said Aaron
wild
Judge
card.
Would be bad.
And you said Aaron Judge would be bad.
I'm
that's
sure
right.
I predicted something right. I probably predicted Acuna to win the Rookie of the Year.
You probably predicted the Cubs to win the division, and they sort of did. So that sort of counts. Yeah. You probably picked the Dodgers to win the division.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. Although that looked real shaky for
it did
until the after the season was
yeah,
over
that's,
when they had
that's,
to win a game.
That's true.
Okay, so that's
so
that's
we got
it.
Our predictions done.
Yeah.
For the by the way, I did think of a new slogan for the podcast
what's
quoted
that?
By you, which is like, I'm losing my original thought is the new, is the slogan for the podcast.
Oh God. Yeah. That'd be good.
So playoffs, what are we thinking pennant wise here?
We don't have to go through the whole thing. You picked Astros already.
I'm picking Astros.
I am picking Yankees out of the wild card spot.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm
not
do.
Unheard of.
No.
But more difficult these days.
More
the
difficult.
One game playoff.
But also, I mean, they've got, it's the bullpen and the, like, remember what they did to the Twins?
Yeah.
I feel like that they could do that all, like, all the, I think they
then
can win
what,
a five game series and a one game series.
The Indians that year.
Yeah.
The Indians were, like, dominant
oh,
that
right,
year
yeah.
and had
oh,
that 22
the
game
yeah.
winning streak and then just got blitzed by the
so
Yankees.
So I think if I'm looking at just roster construction now, I'm most scared of, I mean, the Astros are terrifying, but I'm also very scared of Yankees, of the Yankees playoff potential.
Yes.
Especially if they have like two starters that are good.
Yeah. Which, if yeah, James Paxton and Luis Severino
right.
is a pretty good start towards that if they're both healthy.
Right.
I don't think the Yankees are a bad pick. Like I said, I am picking the Astros because I just think they're so well-constructed.
They're the best team in baseball.
And you know they have the resources to make moves at the deadline if they need to. They've done it. You know, they caught Osuna last year and obviously Verlander the year before. So they're not scared to make a big move for a huge star or for a domestic abuser. So they run the whole spectrum of player transactions. Oh, Ryan Braun just hit a 3-run home run
ooh.
In this Brewers Cardinals game we got on in the background. Bernie's going down the slide, fireworks going off. Brewers fans are loving it; they're excited. Braun's high fiving the coach. This is I'm working on my play by play.
This is almost illegal because we don't have express written consent. that tied it up in the third. Wow. Okay. So I'll go Yankees, even though I definitely think the Astros are the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in the playoffs, Greg.
Hey, that's what I've always said. No one else has said that.
So who are you thinking? Do you think the Dodgers have a third straight World Series loss in them? Or
They just might. They just might. I think all the Dodgers fans who are sick of Dave Roberts will tell you that that's exactly what will happen. God, wouldn't that be if the Dodgers just turned into the Buffalo Bills? Ugh, that'd be sad.
I'm trying to think in my mind if a team has ever lost three straight World Series.
I mean, it would have to be like the Brooklyn Dodgers. Like, it would have to be something in like the 20s or 30s or something.
The Yankees lost two, but then won a third. And like, they lost two to the Giants in 21 and 22, but then they beat the Giants in 23. I can't think of another situation which it's not worth having silence on the podcast. I think of, I don't think any team in baseball has lost three. I might be wrong, but with my wealth of World Series knowledge,
yeah, I would expect you to know if anyone.
But
well, here's the thing: is like I think the Dodgers have a legitimate claim to the best team in the National League.
They definitely do.
But I don't know, like that is hard to, I think, overcome that like inertia of like, oh, we got close and then what it reminds me of is the Phillies in the sort of late 2000s. Like they won in 08, obviously, but then they lost in 09 in the World Series. Then they lost in the NLCS the next year. And then I believe the Division Series the following year. So it was like they just... Like, I think climbing the mountain again and again becomes increasingly more difficult. You just are carrying baggage and, you know, injuries are always a threat as a team sort of ages in that way. So I think I'm going to go with the Cardinals again. I just feel like it's been too long.
World Series?
Yeah, I feel like Cardinals, it's been too Astros. Long since you were like, the fucking Cardinals again?
Yeah.
Like,
we're primed for the fucking Cardinals
again. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That makes sense. So we've already predicted the Duke, whatever Snuffler, whatever his name was.
Oh,
coming out of nowhere.
Duke Snuffler. I thought you switched back to March Madness. No, so I was like, Duke.
No. You to win. So also what's going to happen
Garth
is
Garth Blurstein. Like
that's
that.
What it was. There's a Duke Snuffler also.
Duke Snuffler is the Cardinals guy or the Dodgers guy.
Yeah,
guy that they'll get from like the
new
Japanese league.
Guy, yeah.
Exactly.
So the Cardinals will come out hot. It'll be a three-team race. They'll have a July swoon into August, and they'll drop out of it. It's going to look like a two-team race, and then they're going to start winning. And the last day, this is your narrative, they're going to get into the playoffs with 84 wins.
Yep.
And then because the Mets and Phillies simultaneously imploded somehow, they tied each other four times in a row, and then the Cardinals just dominate through the playoffs. That's your prediction, right?
Yeah, that's along the lines
that's
of
the,
it.
That's
and
the
like,
kind of Cardinals year we're looking at here.
Yeah, and okay. Like Colton Wong will hit like six home runs in the LCS or something.
Matt Carpenter will like steal home on a controversial call that like they're probably got right, but everyone would wish went the other way.
Miles Mikolas will be closer for some reason at that point, and he'll just be like lights out.
Adam Wainwright has a 0.3 ERA through the whole playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm picking the Brewers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brewers.
They tasted it last year, and I think they're hungry.
They.
Even though
they
won't be able to overcome the Cubs in the division race, I think that they'll beat the Cardinals in my.
Yasmani Grandal will hit a couple homers in that wild card game.
Aguilar.
I do think the Grandal addition is one people don't talk about.
That's true.
Enough in terms of the offseason. That's
I was thinking
so
about
good.
That too because
he's
everyone
so
was
good.
Focused
it's
on
crazy.
Everyone was focused on Gomes and Realmuto. Being the two.
I mean, Grandal's obvious, like, arguably better than Realmuto.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because the other day I was reading through, like, Fangraphs, you know, like, they have, like, the position rankings, and I was like, oh, yeah, they got fucking.
Yeah.
Can we say fuck? Can we swear on this podcast?
No. Please retract to your fucking.
No, can you go through and edit it?
Just give me a duh. Real quick, and
I would,
and then I'll change it to ducking.
Duh, there it is. Even though I hate the Brewers, I would love, because I also don't like the Dodgers, if Grandal was like a playoff hero for the Brewers. I would love the Dodgers, especially if he was against the Dodgers in the CS.
Yeah,
could you imagine?
Game?
revenge series.
Revenge series.
If like Grandal had like a Daniel Murphy for the Mets in 2015,
because they sort of like also burned him on the way out the door a little bit. Like in terms of like there were rumblings like, oh, he's not super likable in the playoff or in the clubhouse. Yeah. Like the pitchers don't like working with him, like type stuff.
I would love if either Darvish or Grandal just like torched the Dodgers.
Darvish would be nice. I would love it if Darvish is good.
I would also love it on a personal level if Darvish did. But
yes.
But I'm going to take the Brewers and
over the Yankees, or are you taking the Yankees in the World Series?
Oh no, what did I do? Yeah, I'm going to take Brewers over the Yankees in the World Series.
Wow.
Okay. And you took Astros over Cardinals.
Astros,
former
Cardinals.
Division friends.
Yeah.
Both of us picked World Series matchups that could not have happened at the turn of the century.
Yeah, because the Brewers were in the AL and the Astros were in the NL, and then they did a good old-fashioned game of swapsies.
Yeah, a Kentucky swap. okay, so I put zero. I didn't even think of this until we started talking about it, but I'm going to stick to it.
Wow. Way to pull back the curtain and reveal the amount
I thought about it a little. Like I didn't.
No, I did not think about it terribly extensively. I mean, we're sort of in the same situation as last year in the AL, at least, which is like it's pretty obvious who at least, you know, four of the five playoff teams are going
to
be.
Yes, I'm only picking the Yankees because it's the least fun to, again, pick the Astros because they're the best team.
Yeah, I had fun doing it, so.
It's still fun. And they're a fun team. They're a fun team to watch. They're not a boring, good team.
Yes,
I think they're more fun to watch than both the Indians and Red Sox.
Yes.
Except
I'd agree.
I mean, the Indians have two of the most fun players, but yeah. You know what I'm saying.
So why don't we just run down awards real quick, and then we'll do a couple
wackies,
oddball categories to close it out. Let's lightning round AL MVP.
I'm going Mike Trout because he didn't win it last year.
Exactly. And even if he won it last year, he'd probably win it this year too.
Yeah.
NL MVP.
Let me see. Do you have one?
I'm gonna stick to my guns here, or should I say stick to my golds?
Oh,
Paul Goldschmidt.
Oh, I see. That's pretty good.
That pick is good.
I am going to, I think I predicted it 2 years ago, but I'm going to, because this is how the Cubs make it, I'm going to go with Rizzo.
Oh, okay. I could see it.
I mean, he's good.
Yeah, for sure. I think he would sort of need one of those similar to last year where there was not really a clear favorite until the last month of the season, maybe. I think any time a first baseman wins, unless they're like, you know, unless they hit 55 home runs, they need kind of. That's kind of how I feel about Goldschmidt as well.
Yeah, I think Rizzo could benefit. Yeah, he'll benefit from a narrative.
Yeah,
because he'll be leading the Cubs to this playoff charge that I predicted.
Right,
and I think if for a non-homer pick, I'm going to go with Seager.
Seager was my pick last year, I believe, and then that was my terrible pick last year.
I mean, but like that's an injury. I feel like that's, you can't blame a terrible pick on an injury. All right, so AL Cy Young.
I was picking Chris Sale before the season, but then he just got destroyed yesterday. So maybe I am picking, drum roll while I figure this out.
I have one. Okay, I'll pick Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Cole, good choice. But I'm gonna go with
Dylan Betances.
No, I'm gonna go with Corey Kluber.
Yeah, he's probably the best pitcher.
He's
in the
a
AL,
robot
right? Or Sale. I mean, it's Sale, Kluber.
If
Verlander,
Sale's
right?
healthy, if Sale pitches like 200 innings, I think he'll win. Just it. If nothing else, that as like a career achievement type thing, if he has like 200 innings and an ERA near three, like I don't think he needs to be the best pitcher to win, because I think like people are probably going to be eager to give it to him.
Yeah, because like a career, kind of a career, or just like this guy needs one.
But that being said, like I don't know if that'll happen, especially now that he's got the contract and the Red Sox sort of like need to be extra protective of him, and they've already won the World Series. As like, I could see them just giving him a rest, to give him a rest. You
who's
know?
Your? Who's your? This is a wacky one, so maybe I'll save it.
It's no, go for wacky. It.
Who's your Blake Snell? Because no one,
out
zero
of
people picked Blake Snell. I'm gonna go Matt Harvey.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going Matt Harvey as my Blake Snell out of nowhere.
Cy Young pick.
Especially if they make the playoffs.
Yeah. That's
a
pretty fun
not
one.
Bad with the Reds. I'm not saying he was great, but
yeah,
it's
was
not like
he league average. Yeah, maybe that's like a platform to be building off of.
Yeah.
Gosh, out of nowhere pick. See, the problem with this is I have to think of players who I like
barely think about.
Barely.
That's what
think
I was
about.
Having a tough time when I asked it. That's what, and then I thought about Harvey.
I do like the Matt Harvey one. I guess, well, this isn't out of nowhere, but Jose Berríos is nasty as hell.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Like, I could easily see him winning it.
I think that's a good one.
And Cy Young, I'm going to switch it up from my Sox machine picks, and I'm going to say Max Scherzer.
I was thinking Scherzer, too. It's like, that one is more just because, like, because I want to root for him to be the best pitcher in the National League.
For sure.
Like, there's no one else not on my team that
I like
want
Aaron
to be the best
Nola.
Pitcher.
That was like that was the pick I made at Sox Machine.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good pick.
But I think Scherzer, I think he has one more dominant year in him at least.
I mean, he looked amazing yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, he gave up a home run.
And he could have, if it wasn't for DeGrom last year, like, if DeGrom didn't have a historic season, he could have easily won
and
last
And if it
year.
Wasn't for DeGrom yesterday, he could have won that game yesterday.
That's like, true. Uh-oh, maybe that's just the story of his career.
Did you hear that thing? This is one of those dumb trivia things that are great about baseball, that Scherzer DeGrom faced off yesterday, and then so did Snell Verlander. So the 1-2 in each league for
that's
Cy
fun.
Young.
I didn't realize that. That's very fun.
Yeah. What, we're doing Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Vlad Guerrero. I'm not, there's no way.
Eloy Jimenez.
Oh, you have to. You have to. Vlad Guerrero Sr. was like one of my favorite players of all time. There's no way I'm not going to be rooting for Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I mean, I will be too. But yeah, I'm going to go Jimenez, especially because he's healthy and
playing.
Playing, yeah. And then I think Tatis as well in the NL.
Yeah, who else would it? Robles, I guess.
Robles, Peter Alonso, maybe on the Mets. Supposed to be very good.
Yeah. Or Garth
Blurstein. Garth Blurstein. Or it could be somebody who we've never heard of.
I feel like it's rare that both Rookie of the Years are someone that, like, coming in are hyped.
Yeah.
But I think that Tatis versus
although
Robles,
last year it was Otani and Acuña,
that is true.
Right?
Yeah.
it almost wasn't
Acuña, but yeah, I think we both said Otani, and or maybe I didn't. But I think Eloy Jimenez is a pretty good challenge to Vlad.
Yeah. He looked scared yesterday.
Did he?
So hopefully that passes
quick.
Maybe
he's just scared to be on the White Sox.
That could
be. Or maybe
he
was scared to face Brad Keller.
Yeah. Notorious flamethrower Brad Keller. I just hope the White Sox don't poison him with their badness.
That would be a disappointment.
Yeah. All right. My one category, at least,
category.
Of wackiness, we can do more, but the one that I have locked and loaded is the biggest baseball controversy of 2019.
Oh, right. Okay. Do you have an answer locked and loaded, too?
I should have, but
should
I
this,
don't necessarily.
So is this either on the field or off the field? Because, like, off the field seems like...
Anything.
It's nothing but controversy right now.
Anything.
Biggest controversy. Great. Okay.
Here's one.
Okay, great.
Here's one.
Yeah.
I got a good one.
Okay.
Bryce Harper gets off to a slow start, and then in like mid-June, his bat breaks, and they see that it's corked. And he like has been corking his bat to try to like live up to this contract.
Was he hot? Did he start to get hot?
Maybe.
In your scenario?
He hit like a couple homers earlier that week.
Oh, that's
good.
And
then he has a corked bat.
What about this one? Okay, didn't I already predict something bad for Tatis?
Oh no, we were talking about
it
off mic.
Okay,
that you thought,
we're gonna find out that for no, he's not good for this. Who's good? Who's like a rookie?
Gonna say that he's not actually Fernando Tatis's son.
Oh, that would be a good one. I was gonna do an age controversy. I was gonna say we're gonna find out that he's like 24.
If it happened to anybody, it would be Jimenez for sure, because that's so White Sox.
I actually was going to change it to Jimenez, and I felt bad for doing that to you.
That would suck very hard.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Eloy Jimenez is 27.
You son of a bitch.
Is my big controversy.
Hey, they got him signed through his prime,
that's
baby.
That's true. That doesn't even feel like that big of a controversy.
That would be a 27?
How old is he, 21?
22.
Oh, well, 27 is going to be high. Yeah. 26. Bryce Harper corking his bat like would...
That would be one of the biggest
baseball stories. Yeah, like that would be like a basketball level baseball story. Like that would be crazy.
That's a pretty good prediction, huh?
That's a really good one. What if... here's one. Bryce Harper, because it's going to be about Bryce Harper, I feel like, right? Bryce Harper slides hard into Clayton Kershaw covering first on a first base slide, and Kershaw's out for the year.
Takes him out?
Yeah.
Ooh, that would just be shitty, though.
It would. I'm not rooting for. I don't want Bryce Harper to have corked his bat.
No, me neither. But like that. That would have a darker tinge to it, I think.
That's
than,
true.
Than like a bat quirking
scandal.
That's not wacky. Because like also just like Kershaw is almost this like tragic figure now with sort of how often he gets hurt and how close the Dodgers
maybe
have come.
Kershaw was or what? Oh, if it was Max Scherzer because it's the Nationals. Still dark.
It's still dark.
What
have
if
to
we
be
found
like
out
cologne?
What if we found out that Aaron Judge wears lifts in his shoes and he's actually 6'5"?
That's a great controversy right there. I would love that. They just see some like little wooden lifts in his locker during an interview. They're like, what the hell? He would be out of the running for tallest player.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the controversy.
Wouldn't even be close.
Yeah,
he would be ineligible for that award.
6'5". I'll tell you a controversy with me. That's if they banned the shift, they couldn't do that midseason. There's no way.
Yeah, certainly not midseason. I would be annoyed if that happened too. But I know there's a lot of shift haters out there. I know this from the Facebook baseball group that we're both in. But I think it's dumb and nonsensical. It's like how can you have a sport where you like ban where people can stand on the field?
Well, I mean, football has a bunch of you can't stand. And like basketball, you can't be in the key for more than 3 seconds. My point is that like the real problem is that pitchers are too good. Right? Because my point is that okay, so the defense figured out, like, fix it. Like figure out a way, like when zone defense was invented in basketball or man to man, I guess I don't know which came first. You figure out a way to beat it.
Right, yeah.
Now I understand if you can't beat it because the pitchers are so good that like you're lucky to make contact, you know,
right.
But like I think that like so they're shifting. And I'm not saying bunt because I understand why you can't just bunt over, but it's like, I did think of this the other day, though. The Royals, if they had any players good enough to shift against, they're the perfect team to just bunt against it every time.
Because they're fast?
And they're not going to get on base anyway. Like,
oh, right.
That, like,
yeah, that's true.
Because like, you don't want Joey Gallo bunting because you want a home run.
Right.
The Royals are not going to have a player. Do you think the Royals will have a player hit 10 home runs?
Probably. Soler, if he's healthy.
Soler
or Gordon, if he's healthy.
Gordon could.
Mondesi could hit. Yeah.
20.
I get annoyed by the shift talk. I don't think it doesn't hurt my enjoyment of baseball.
That's
and
the other
like,
thing. It doesn't bother me.
I think there's like a natural tug and pull between like, you know, an adjustment happens and then the counter adjustment happens. And we just haven't necessarily seen the counter adjustment, whether that is, you know, guys. Like the value of contact hitters does increase relative to the value of power hitters or, you know, like stuff that baseball executives more creative than me can figure out in terms of like ways to beat the shift, you know, maybe like guys are only, well, launch angle is like one counter adjustment to it for sure. Just hitting the ball in there more.
But
so
then that
maybe that's
like
already
the
happened.
Three true outcomes complaint, which I don't know.
Yeah, I think we'll have plenty of time to discuss this as the season happens because I think those will be some of the. This is a prediction that will continue to be a dominant narrative for sure. Is like offense, the home run, the strikeout, and the shift, and that the sort of interrelation of all of those things.
Yeah, no, we'll be talking about it all year. I'm thinking of another wacky one. It's not that wacky.
Give it to me.
What player is going to be, who do you predict is going to be like at the end of the year where you're like, I think this player is my new favorite player, who has like the best potential?
Well, Jimenez definitely.
Not on your team.
Not on the White Sox.
It's not fair when it's on your team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I feel like maybe like Bregman or Matt Chapman started to fill that role. Like, people kind of are starting to know who they are. They could still be there because I still think neither one of those are super popular.
I do think Trey Turner, he's got a good combination. He's super fast. He's got some power. He seems like a guy who like plays super hard, at least from what I've seen. So I think there's potential there if he puts it all together for him to be like a super enjoyable player to watch.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think that's good. I'm trying to think of... I asked the question without having an answer.
Yeah, I think... I mean, I'm already a fan of Tommy Pham, but if the Rays are really good and he's sort of a leader of that, I think I could get pretty into a Tommy Pham season.
That's pretty good. I would love a... I would love a Troy Tulowitzki great season. That's a little different.
Oh, that'd be nice. It would just be nice if he like stayed healthy and kind of, healthy and productive. Although, it would have to be for the Yankees, which I wouldn't love. But
it's not great. Andrelton Simmons like being like a top three MVP candidate.
That'd be awesome.
Like if he like really like this final piece of the puzzle comes together this year, I feel like then I'd be like, hell yeah, this guy is.
Yeah, with the silver lining of making the Angels better, which, you know, we get to see the Angels every once in a while and, like, Trout in the playoffs, like we were talking about earlier.
Okay, so here's another one. This is what I was thinking of, that question. What team, if they won the World Series this year, would cause the least amount of hatred? Or the flip side of that is, what team, if they won the World Series, would most people be like, well, if my team didn't win, at least they won?
Great question.
So the opposite of the Yankees or Red Sox or
right.
Dodgers or
yeah,
Cubs.
Yeah. I would say that the Brewers have probably a really solid case.
I think the Padres are up there.
Padres definitely people don't hate. I don't think it's particularly likely that they'll win the World Series.
No.
I think like...
Oh, I wasn't even folding likelihood into it, but like likely winners, yeah, that makes more sense. I mean, I think the Angels are up there because of Trout.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would be like, well, at least Trout's like able to experience success. Yeah. But yeah, I think the Brewers are up there. Because I kind of think like no one likes any of the NL East teams. I mean, some people do. I do, but like not. There's no general like love for one of those teams. If anyone would be the Braves, maybe, but... I think there's residual Braves hatred from the 90s.
From their dominance, yeah.
And I feel like there are a lot of people that just straight up hate Phillies sports teams. The Mets are the Mets. And the Nationals seem like such a joke.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
Maybe people would be happy for the Nationals because they've never been to the World Series and they like had all this pressure with Harper.
Like, I think that there's... also depends what groups of people you're talking about, because there's like a large collective of Harper haters who would be like, you can't win with a guy like Harper. See, I was right. I told you the whole time that like, you know, showboat, like look what happened when he
just
left.
Put a team together.
So those
it's
guys
all about
would
the
be
team.
Hyped.
Yeah. Ugh, those guys are annoying.
Yeah.
I think probably the Rays. Who would hate the Rays?
Players for a team
true.
Winning that
but
didn't
if,
spend
if,
any money.
If the Rays, oh, that's true. Oh, God. Yeah. If the Rays made it, though, like the way that they win and play baseball would definitely be like everyone would be like, okay, this is great. This is crazy. Right? Like that they'd be like the fun. Because, like,
I think that there would be a, I think there is a significant portion of baseball fans who probably don't like the way the Rays play just because they, out of everybody, have little respect for the historical norms of baseball.
It's kind of
bothers
like
people.
The Royals, when they won, to me, I think I was a fan, but I still think that was their first year. I think people are tighter than their second year. But that weird don't take walks, put the ball in play and hope you get lucky and be fast and super good at defense. Like that to me, I was like, oh, this is like fun and such a weird way to be making it to the World Series.
Definitely.
And I think there were a lot of players that were like, this is crazy and it's the Royals. And I think that a lot of people would feel that way with the Rays. But I think you're right. There were a lot of people that was like, this isn't baseball.
Yeah, right.
Like you have to take walks and have
you're
power.
Destroying the game.
Yeah, this is insane. This isn't sustainable. Like, yeah, I think the Brewers are probably... America's team.
And you picked them to win the World Series. You're America's baseball podcaster now.
I have grown to hate the Brewers so much, but part of me would be very happy for the Brewers.
Yeah.
I don't know. How would you...
Lorenzo Cain. You always got Lorenzo Cain.
Base Gold Glove winner Mike Moustakas.
What I really would like to happen is the Brewers win the division by one game over the Cardinals, and it all comes down to Lorenzo Cain's catch on game one.
Oh yeah,
wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be perfect.
Yeah,
that would be perfect.
Well, we will check in with that hope and all of our predictions as the season goes along. Thank you guys for listening here to the first episode back, and we'll be back weekly starting next week. So definitely subscribe if you're not. Leave a review. You can always tweet at us. We'll be back getting the Twitter cooking again. We're very excited to be back and to have baseball to watch. So shout out to Boardwalk Audio, shout out to Off the Bench Baseball, shout out to Moonbounds for the transition music. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you, Waylon, for all that you do. The person that you are.
Thanks for being a big baseball fan and liking talking about it, which is an impossible thing to find.
It really is. I just had a meeting right before this where we briefly were talking about baseball, and one of the guys was like, yeah, I just like run out of steam on following baseball like a month into the season. And I was like, you are normal.
The great thing about opening day and the thing I love is that like baseball's back, but then it's just like, oh God, this doesn't really matter until like it's the opposite with me. Like I don't have steam at the beginning because I'm like, oh, I'm watching the 4-1 Cubs versus the 2-3.
Yeah, I do like it more when stats start to like be indicative of something.
And it's not just like a streaky, I mean, it's still fun. It's still fun to see Javi Baez hit two home runs on
But I do like the idea of that too, because that sort of means like every game matters a little bit more than the last. So like it builds, which is kind of cool.
It is really cool when you start to get that transition where things get a little more tense. It's loose.
All right. Well, yeah, stick with us when we get to those moments. Thank you guys so much for listening. That is it for today. So long.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.